I want to talk to you this morning on a topic that a lot of us, I think, take for granted, and that has to do with our relationship that we have with God. Now, each of us know that it's God's great desire that we have a relationship with Him that's on a daily basis. We know that our first example in Scripture is Adam in the cool of the day or in the evening. Had opportunities to talk literally with God, and we see that in Genesis chapter 3 and 8. The other reality is that relationship is often intrinsically tied in with obedience. And if you think of Samuel talking with Israel's first king, of course, and that's Saul, in 1 Samuel 15 and verse 22, he says, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is what? Better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams." So again, what Saul is hearing as Samuel is talking about God and relationship, it has nothing to do specifically with the actual acts that we're doing. It has to do with how we think in our minds and our hearts, because out of that reality comes what? Obedience. And so it's a cooperative relationship, not just what I have to do, and so it's a duty. Now, Jesus, too, adds to this concept of relationship with God when he says to the first disciples, and we see this in Matthew 4. Matthew records the following, that while walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, of course, Andrew and his other brother, is casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, what? "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, Jesus saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, with the father. And they were mending their nets, and Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed Jesus. And Jesus went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, and those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee to the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem to Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. And so what we have here, Jesus is bringing a marvelous example in terms of relationship by you and I walk together, fellas, and let's have daily discussions. And then I have a personal interest in individuals in if they're possessed, or if they're in great pain, they need healing, or if they're paralyzed, whatever the scenario is. Jesus, again, is showing that he is interested in relationship because that is what his Father wants with the human race. And Jesus himself, when you think of the story of Zacchaeus, in fact, Jesus invited himself for dinner, which is interesting, at Zacchaeus' house. And in that discussion, which you'll see recorded in Luke 19, I suggest you take some time and read that this week, is that out of that discussion came the whole scenario that, Zacchaeus, you have a heavenly Father who really and truly loves you, and the intention that he wants and you should want with him is that you would obey him and follow his commands. Because, again, this is all about relationship. And we need to be reminded as Christ followers that our religious belief is based on the fact that a God is alive and actually wants to interact with people. We're not just mere pawns or little things that are being moved around a chessboard. And so if we really understand relationship, then out of that comes a sense of obedience. We want to follow God. We want to serve God. We want to listen to God. We want to do what he wants, is, you know, your will on earth be done as it is in heaven, and we want to be a part of that. But the reality is that there's often many times in our lives when we don't want to have a relationship with God, we don't want to obey him, and quite frankly, we don't even want to talk to him. And I find sometimes, if you're honest, you go, I don't want a relationship with God right now, but I'm cross with him. Okay, for whatever reason, you don't want the relationship. Now, what's fascinating, and I want to use an example from Scripture to bring this to the fore for you, is going back to about 800 BC in King Jeroboam II, in his reign, and he reigned for about 40 years. There was a prophet who at a point in his life, now he's a prophet for God, he decided he didn't want to talk to God anymore. He didn't even want to obey God anymore. Now, he'd been obedient because in the book of Kings, the second letter of Kings, we read that he had actually prophesied that God would restore the border of Israel from Lebo Hamath as far as the Sea of Araba, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, spoken by his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, who is from Gath Hepher. So Jonah had been very much listening to God, in a relationship with God, until the situation that we want to talk about today. And so God, in Scripture, it says, speaks to Jonah again. And we literally have the book of Jonah. And it's about the so-called non-relationship initially with God. So see how you relate to this as we talk about it. Because what we have here is God is about to speak to Jonah again, and Jonah doesn't want to talk to God, and he doesn't want to obey God, and he doesn't want to have a relationship with him. So here it is, verses 1 and 2 in Jonah 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." So who's talking to whom? God's talking to Jonah. And now Jonah is asked to do something. So here's what he does. In verse 3, it says, Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Again, we don't know exactly why he wasn't talking with God, nor wanted to have a relationship with him. But I say this because he was a prophet. He was very close, in a sense, to the Lord. So when you look at the things that are causing you to have an ebb and flow with God, recognize that men and women before you have gone through the same thing. So here it is. Jonah did not want to obey God, and so God began to, and I call it, shake Jonah's tree. And I'm a big believer that God, in order to get our attention, will often shake our tree. Okay? Some people say, you know, like the Holy Spirit is like the hound of heaven, and we'll get our attention that way. But however you want to put it, I believe that God knows how to shake our tree. And in this case, he shook not only Jonah's tree, he shook everybody else's tree who was in the ship. So, verse 4 through 13, the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down in the inner part of the ship and lay down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to Jonah, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perish, the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. Perhaps he will do it." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation, and where do you come from, and what is your country, and of what people are you?" And Jonah said to them, "I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to Jonah, "What is this then that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he told them that's what he was doing. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. Jonah said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you, for I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Why? Because God's shaking the tree, Jonah's tree and their tree. And what's interesting is while God is focused on getting Jonah's attention again to have a relationship with him, also all the men on that ship are starting to get a new spiritual insight into the actual God of the universe. Well, they wrote. And the rest of the story goes like this in verse 14 of chapter 1. Then they called out to the Lord, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's sake, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. Okay, let me just say a point here. Who are they now talking to? The God of the universe. They're actually wanting to have a relationship with him, and the fellow that he's trying to have a relationship with, he doesn't want to have a relationship with him. Now, if that isn't ironic, I don't know what is. So anyway, they picked up Jonah, they hurled him into the sea. The sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Wow. Talk about God knowing how to get people's attention. And they were pleased to worship the Lord, and they saw the miracle of who this God was in calming the sea. So here's my point. I believe that God, in desiring to have a relationship with us on a constant basis, will do anything necessary to get our attention. Well, how did God get Jonah's attention? Well, it says in chapter 1 and verse 17 that the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. I don't know about you, but I think that would get my attention. Jonah then realized what was going on, submitted to God, and it came out as a prayer of confession and submission. And here is Jonah now swinging back to have a relationship with God, and he prays as following, from the belly of the fish now. I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he what? Ignored me? Mocked me? Swore at me? No, he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows, what? Passed over me. And then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. And the waters closed in over me and to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought me up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away and I remembered the Lord and my prayer came to you, into your holy temple, and those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of a steadfast love. But I, with a voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay, because salvation belongs to the Lord. And so Jonah realized the greatest thing he had lost was his interaction and relationship with God. And as soon as he finished praying, in fact, we don't even know if there was any timeline, because as soon as he finished this prayer of submission, what happened? God acted. And God spoke. And what's fascinating is that God was not about to stop acting and having a relationship with Jonah, even though he'd been a real banana. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out on the dry land. Then the word came to Jonah the second time, saying, you stupid twit. No. Jonah, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. Why? Because I want to have a relationship with them, because I love them too. And it's interesting that even in the opportunity that God could have taken to put Jonah down and tell him what an incompoop he was, he simply said, Jonah, I want you to do this. And Jonah obeyed. He arose, and he went up to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. So if you think of a man can walk anywhere from 15 to 25 miles a day, you get an idea how big the city was. And he began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So what happens? Nineveh repents and sought to obey the living God, who wanted to have a relationship with them. They didn't even know him. And they realized that if they would repent, they could have a relationship with this God who they didn't know before this prophet had arrived. Again, God shook Jonah's tree Because he had a bigger picture. Because he wanted to have a relationship with more people that he'd created on the face of the earth. And then God goes on to say to Jonah, after God realized they'd repented and he relented from the disaster, and then he said to Jonah specifically, because Jonah was really ticked off, should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, also much cattle? You know, I think as you head into this week, we're now into September. This is going to be a busy month. There's going to be a lot of information come across our track, and who knows what we're going to have to deal with. But I want you to be clear as we head into this month. Are you fighting the relationship with your Heavenly Father, or do you want to have a closer relationship with Him as He wants with you? I don't know where you are in your life. Some of you may be feeling very alone. Some of you may be feeling very upset. Some of you may be feeling very abandoned. Some of you may be very angry at God right now. Some of you are just plain hurt. I want you to take the example that Jonah had and start to talk to the Lord honestly. Talk to your Heavenly Father openly. And if you feel that your life is in the whale's belly, then start to praise God and let Him put you out on dry land. Whatever that looks like, He will bring you to a safe, secure spot, even in the midst of trouble. So my question is, have you had enough? Have you been fighting God for a long time? Have you been trying to ignore God? Have you been blaming God? Have you not been wanting to pray lately or study His Word or talk to Him? You know He wants to speak with you. Now's the time to what? To get back into relationship with the great triune God of the universe, your Heavenly Father, your Savior, your great Comforter. And Jesus, I think, made it very clear. When in Matthew he's recorded these words, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find what? Rest for your souls." We will always have rest for our souls in the presence of our Heavenly Father. I want to conclude with this little notation. There was a gentleman by the name of Will Thompson. Will Thompson was a well-known songwriter in the late 1800s. He was so well-known in Ohio, songs that he had published, that he literally, in his day, became a millionaire. He'd gone to the Boston Conservatory of Music, and then he'd gone to study in Leipzig, Germany, and he wrote tremendous secular, patriotic songs, and as he traveled through the United States, people just loved his music. He sold manuscripts, and he was back and forth all over the eastern part of the seaboard of the United States. And as he became a millionaire, he realized that there was something empty in his life. And basically it boiled down to he didn't have the relationship with God that he felt he needed to have. And so he prayed, and he decided to do the following. He decided that he would in future write only Christian music and get back to a closer relationship with God. Now, what's interesting is that he was under the tutelage of a very well-known preacher by the name of D.L. Moody, and he gave him a lot of support. And as a result of that relationship, one of the songs that Will Thompson wrote was a song called Softly and Tenderly, and many of you will know it. And I want to sing a verse for you before I conclude this sermon. But he was so grateful for D.L. Moody and how he helped him to grow in his faith and draw closer to the Lord that when D.L. Moody had a major heart attack, he felt compelled to actually go to Northfield, Illinois, quite a number of days' travel to get to D.L. Moody. And when he got to Northfield, the doctors would only allow Will to come in and see Mr. Moody. And what's interesting is that as the two of them sat together in that hospital room, and as Will took the trembling hand of Dr. Moody and thanked him for all that he had meant to him, what Dr. Moody said to him in return was, "I wish, in a sense, that I had written the song that you had written more than anything else in the whole world." Why? In part, because it explains the relationship that we have with God. So I just want to sing two verses of this song for you and listen. And when I come to the second chorus, I'm going to change one word and you see if you hear it. Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised, promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O Christian, come home. And so, Father, where we don't know exactly where we might be going, you know exactly where we are and where we will be going. And in all of this, you want to walk and talk with us. Your relationship is beyond words or understanding. Your love for us is beyond measure. And the desire to share with us, we who are your creation, is absolutely unfathomable to our human finite minds. And so, Lord, as we head into this week, we would draw closer to you. We would appreciate the relationship that we have with you, that we'll talk to you more. We'll study your word more. We'll obey more. And we'll rest in you more. Because, Lord, all of us are weary. And we are heavy laden. This earth is not easy to live in. And so with that in mind, Father, I commend all of these people who are listening and watching this YouTube program to sense your presence as you pour into their lives yet again your tremendous love. Thank you. And we thank you together in your powerful name. Amen. Well, good morning on this Sunday, September the 6th, to family, friends, near and far. Want to welcome you to this service, and I'd like to give you some announcements. We're going to start with a special presentation from Envisage. They are the group in Collingwood and Barrie that look after moms who are pregnant, and so we'll invite you to turn and look at the screen now. This is a virtual walk-a-thon. And it's going to take place on Saturday, October the 17th. And you're invited to walk and raise funds. And so if you'd like to participate, and you will see that you can register, or if you'd like to make a donation, you can see the actual email address there. And I know the folks would be more than happy to give you more details. So take advantage of that opportunity. Okay. Some other announcements that I want to share with you. We had a church cleanup day on Saturday, and if you've gone by the church lately, you know that, of course, we have two parking lots, a south parking lot and a north parking lot. Our south parking lot We had the men working. Phil Brown has worked all week, taking out a lot of the big trees and big bushes. And today, one of the fellas, Bob Jones, he connected his truck with chains and took out the roots. So we've renamed Bob now. He's Bob Dynamo James Jones. And then we had a whole bunch of other people come and join us this morning, Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. And we had a great time together cleaning windows and doing all kinds of things. So if you go by the church, have a look at the south parking lot, and you'll be thrilled to see it all. So I want to thank Phil, of course, Phil Brown, and Bob Jones, Phil Farrell, David Hunter. He came over and helped us. Mary Lou Pierce, Roy White, Margaret Piefinch, Barry Hamilton, Norm Parker, Bruce Clark, and they even allowed me to help. So to all of these people, thank you so very much. And of course, we'll be doing other things, and Bob will keep you updated on those cleanup things for our church. Now, this afternoon at 3 o'clock, we're going to be showing a special sight and sound presentation on Queen Esther. You don't want to miss this. If you are able to be at the church, of course, we'll be doing the social distancing and the mask thing. Bring your own snacks and drinks, and we'll start at 3 o'clock this afternoon, and we'd love to have you join us. Moving forward, I just want to let you know, of course, we have started midweek groups. Our Thursday night study, which is on Esther, amazingly enough, is at 7 o'clock on Thursday evening. If it's a nice night, of course, we'll sit outside. If not, we'll be in the church. And also 10 o'clock on Monday, September the 14th, all the ladies are invited to come either to sit outside, depending on the weather, or come into the building to discuss ladies' ministry for the fall. Gina and Cheryl are coordinating that if you have any questions. So bring your lawn chair and your own snacks. And they're going to start a discussion time at 10 a.m. on Monday, September the 14th. So just keep that in mind. We have some birthday announced and anniversary announced. I, first of all, want to say thank you for all your good wishes to me for September the 4th. I appreciate everybody's very thoughtful comments and your ongoing prayers for my life. Susan, we want to wish you a very happy birthday for the 7th on Monday. And we've got some anniversaries as well. Colin and Marg Bailey on Tuesday are celebrating 69 years of marriage. So I think you need to give them a call and congratulate them. And not far behind, Rob and Rhoda Bowman are celebrating 47 years. And Rhoda was telling me the other day that Rob is up and walking on his new leg and is progressing very well. So, Rob, I'm assuming that by Tuesday night, you'll be able to take your wife dancing, okay? So to those of you who have an anniversary, congratulations. For our notes of prayer and praise, we need to pray for Crystal's sister. She's having trouble with vision issues. And Donna, our beloved Donna, is having surgery on the 13th for carpal tunnel syndrome. So let's remember her in prayer. For praise note, Leanne has reported that her ENT specialist says that her voice is a bit better and that she'll continue on the antibiotics for another month and is very confident that her voice will improve even more so. And, of course, the Bowmans are praising God that he's opened the doors at Barry, the Barry thing for the prosthetics and also for physiotherapy because they were having to go down to Toronto. Now they're able to go to Barry. And that will certainly take a lot of stress and time from them and all they're trying to do. Catherine, of course, had laser surgery the other day, and very grateful to Phil Brown for taking her and for our church family, all of you that have prayed for her. Her eyes are doing better, and, of course, she appreciates everybody's prayers. So I'd like to pray now for these things, and then I want to introduce Dan and Joyce Gold, who are going to sing for us. So, Father, thank you again for this day and the opportunity to praise you. And Lord, for the answers to prayer, thank you for all those who came on Saturday, did such a tremendous job in cleaning the outside of our church and our building and just the camaraderie and the sense of anticipation of what you're going to do as a family together. We do pray today for Crystal's sister and ask, oh God, that you would give her very clear answers. For Donna, that you would have great peace as she prepares for this surgery. For Leanne, as she continues to recoup, and Lord, that she would have full use of her voice again. And also for Rob and the ongoing progress he's made since his foot amputation. And Lord, we pray that things will really, really come together for him. And for Catherine, as she recoups after this eye surgery. And for each one of us, Lord, there are many going through different issues that we're aware of and others that only you know of. And so these unspoken requests, we just commend to you today and know that you're going to work in powerful ways. And so we thank you in advance for all the ways that you love us and care about us. In your powerful name we pray. Amen.
Hi, folks. This song is a little song, a country gospel song called The Little Spot in Heaven. Myself and my wife will be doing this.
I don't ask you, Lord, to lighten up my burden. I don't mind that I go through, being down, I want to prove that I am worthy of a little spot in heaven close to you. Years ago, my mother taught me all your meaning of the hardship and the pain that you went through. Know you, Lord, that I am ready and I'm waiting for a little spot in heaven close to you.
Precious Lord, and praise the Lord. This next song we're going to do is a very similar type of song, one of Joyce's favorites. It's called Hold Fast to the Right.
Mm-hmm. You've only a moment, I know. But stay till I give you this parting advice. It's all that I have to bestow.
You leave us to seek your employment, my boy, by the world you have yet to be tried. But in the temptations and trials of life, may your heart to the Savior confide. Hold fast to the right, hold fast to the right, wherever your footsteps may roam. Oh, forsake not the way of salvation, my boy, that you learned from your mother at home. I gave you to God in your cradle, my boy, and I taught you the best that I knew. And as long as his mercies permit me to live, I shall never cease praying for you. You will find in your satchel a Bible, my boy. It's a book of others the best. It will help you to live and prepare you to die, and will lead to the gates of the blessed. Hold fast to the right, hold fast to the right, wherever your footsteps may roam. Oh, forsake not the way of salvation, my boy, that you learned from your mother at home. Oh, forsake not the way of salvation, my boy, that you learned from your mother at home.
Well, thank you. That was terrific. So we're going to conclude this service for another day and trust that the Lord blesses you this week. So the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you and the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.